Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is Matt Venuti. Venuti is a singer, songwriter, composer, and multi-instrumentalist. His work has been described as ambient fusion and acoustic alternative. A native New Yorker, Venuti lived for 30 years in San Francisco, where he became known as a bandleader and front person for the world fusion ensemble, the Venusians. He has released many solo CDs, including his most recent, a beautiful new collection called The Rhythm of Life. And welcome to the show.
Hi, Tish. Thanks for having me.
It's so great to finally meet you. Now, tell us about your background. I know your father was a jazz pianist, and you took up piano really young. So tell us about that atmosphere.
My dad was a jazz piano player. He didn't do it by trade, but he did play. He played around, you know, kind of the area. In fact, one time he was the house pianist at the Club 86, which hosted Tony Bennett, and my father played for Tony Bennett once. But it was before Tony was too well known, but my dad was a great player. He played by ear. And so all of us had to learn piano growing up. It was just part of our repertoire, you know. You had to do it. And, you know, I used to listen to my dad, and my dad didn't read music. I would actually just sit under the piano and listen to him and absorb the sound of what he was doing. I just loved the how he did that. It was magic. He didn't read. And I was, you know, I had to go to a piano lessons from around third grade till maybe seventh grade or so. And, you know, I just never wrapped my mind around the theory of it. I just wanted to be like my dad, you know, and just play and have fun, you know. The house was like a rehearsal studio. You'd come home from school and there'd be, you know, we had two pianos and an organ, and sometimes they'd be going on all at once.
Yeah, you come from a family where you have 10 siblings, right?
Yeah, 10 kids, yeah. So, you know, everybody had to play something. And so I finally, after a while, I started making things up on the piano, and my mom finally gave me permission that I didn't have to take lessons anymore because maybe I was making too much terrible noise.
But it sounds like you got into freelance and, you know, improv.
Well, I did. I mean, I started making things up, and, you know, it may not have been too pleasing to some people's ears, but it was more fun. And I was, you know, my whole life is, you know, I try to find fun in anything I do. So that's the only, my survival mechanism.
Oh, I can imagine that.
Yeah.
Now, when did you start actually composing and writing and thinking about songs?
Well, I did a lot of air guitar and imagined a lot of things, you know, and down in the basement of my house where I did a lot of imaging and imagining. But it wasn't until, and I played the trumpet after I played the piano, and I went to college and I just stopped everything with music. And then one day I was living in Boston and I walked into a nightclub and I saw Mike Matheny playing this electronic valve instrument, which was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. I was completely enraptured by it. And so I started going there every Tuesday night where he was playing at this club called Ryle's, and I was bringing a lot of people out with me. And Mike had to pay attention to me after a while because I was bringing so many people. It's like, you got to see this instrument he plays. And he'd only bring it out for like the last couple of songs, you know, because he's a great trumpet player. But this was a MIDI. It wasn't MIDI back then. It was just an electronic wind instrument that you can play 8 octaves, and you know you can make just about any sound you wanted. And he told me they stopped making them. I asked him about it, and I said, "Well, where'd you get yours?" And he told me it was in a music store. Sorry about the long answer to your question, but basically,
okay.
I finally found one of these instruments that they stopped making, and I started to write music with this single note kind of trumpet synthesizer, and I would do kind of layering with the old cassette recorders or 8-track recorders and all that. And I started to write lyrics, and I always liked poetry, and I always liked to write, you know, so this all kind of came hand in hand.
So these instruments, it's something somebody invented, right? I mean, it's not something that's used every day by every person. It didn't catch on in some
ways. No, I just so happened to, and it's not like I went out of my way to try to find unusual instruments, but it just so happens that the two major instruments in my life, the electronic valve instrument, which sustained my musical aspirations for many years, for decades, and now the newer instrument, which you're probably going to ask me about, you know, it just happened to be that the light went off when I heard about these things, or that I saw it, and I had to have it. I can't explain it. It became my, you know, kind of my musical expression.
An obsession, it sounds
like. Obsession, for sure.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the new CD, The Rhythm of Life. It's beautiful, man. It's a beautiful collection. Tell us about where it manifested from, where it came from, inspiration.
Boy, yeah. The original versions of those songs, of many of those songs, came from a CD called Rise. And Rise came from an experience after I lost my wife. She had cancer, and in 2008, she finally drew her last breath. And I was kind of in a felt like I was dropped on another planet. I didn't know, you know, who I was or what I was in terms of my musical, especially my musical. I was up on stage with the electronic valve instrument and doing some vocals with my world fusion band, getting people dancing. And I just felt like the wind was knocked out of me. I didn't feel like doing that anymore. And it was very difficult because we had a lot of momentum going. And then we had another side of me that was playing all these big corporate gigs and, you know, with another aspect of the band. And I, you know, over time, I just started to really yearn for something new, and I started putting the word out. And a good friend of mine, in fact, Jane Heaven, who you might know of from KPFA, she told me she had seen this strange flying saucer-shaped instrument, and she described it to me, and I said, well, that's what I need. I need something that's going to help ground me again, something I could put on my lap and something that I could bring out to the forest and just commune with nature and play music. I couldn't do that with the electronic valve instrument. I was tethered to racks of electronics.
So these other instruments from Switzerland, the one you were talking about, looks like a flying saucer. These feel very intimate, and the result of it is on this new CD.
Yeah, well, there you go. You're bringing me back again. Thank you. So I made the CD Rise, and it really does encompass just my voice and the instrument by itself. And when I was on tour in 2015, the beginning of my tour, the first month of a 10-month tour, I was in Houston, Texas, and my van got robbed, and everything was taken, including all my Rise CDs, about 1,000 copies. And I decided, what was I going to do? You know, how was I going to continue? Was I going to just reorder Rise or do something different? And I decided, for some reason, I wanted to redo those songs and bring more instrumentation into it. And that's where the rhythm of life came from.
It's great, and you brought in vocals. It's very filled out. I haven't heard Rise, but this is a beautiful. I want to play an excerpt from the rhythm of life. This one's called A Place to Breathe. Tell us just a bit about it before we listen.
Okay. Well, you know, it kind of is self-explanatory in a sense. You know, there's all the stimulus that's going on in life and in my life, and sometimes it's just important to take a few deep breaths, find a quiet place, and just let it all go by, and just don't pay too much attention.
Let's listen to it. A Place to Breathe. You know, some of the words to that reminded me of a letting go song. Is that what it felt like to you too? Almost like breathe in, but then let it out.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. It was very touching song, I think. I can feel something from it.
Thank you.
You spent 30 years in San Francisco, and you were a front man for the Venusians. Tell us about that band. I mean, your solo music came from that whole place, I assume.
Yeah, well, everything came from there in a sense, because that was my first musical experience with this ensemble. And the ensemble started in 1988, and it went all the way through and still exists.
And it's considered a world fusion band.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to... I hate putting labels, definitions on things and labels. You know, for lack of a better way to put it, it is worldly in a sense. You know, there's a lot of unusual instruments in it, for one. A gentleman, Daniel Berkman, plays the kora, which is this amazing African harp. And, you know, there's drums and there's keyboards and standard stuff, too. But then I play the electronic valve instrument, the hung. But we all come from a place of enjoying the music from other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow when we bring this together, we've created this sound that is quite beautiful and quite fun and rhythmic at the same time. So
it's also relaxing. It sort of gets you in touch with whatever emotions might be by sitting inside yourself, you know?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think that would be more with the Rhythm of Life, the newer album. The Venusians' music was a little bit more upbeat and certainly had that sense of awe and inspiration going on that, you know, people enjoy with wider spectrum music. I'm not sure how to describe it, actually. But
but you do find yourself needing to describe music, don't you?
Oh,
even
gosh,
though everybody hates labels, I understand that.
Yeah.
Now, you've returned to your native New York after 30 years in San Francisco, as I said. Your songs seem so meditative, the ones on this new CD. You say you're on the road all year, so where do you find these quiet places to write and get in touch with that quiet?
Wow. You know, I've somehow been very fortunate to have found these places, usually from, you know, when I go into a city like Charlottesville, Virginia, and I played at a place, and the person who owned the place, actually the place is called A Place to Breathe, which was the inspiration for the name of the song. And I said, well, where can I go up in the Blue Ridge Mountains? I had 2 days off. And she said, well, my husband and I have a house up there. You can go up there. And so suddenly I was finding myself. Now, that's now a normal stop for me. They let me stay there whenever I go through. So I'm in the woods there. I always find a park. Even if I'm in a hotel room, I look and I see, when I'm looking out for a hotel, where is the nearest park? Where is the nearest hiking trails or whatever? Because I really need to have that in order to sustain my life on the road. Yeah, yeah.
I was wondering how somebody on tours is finding these places, but this explains it. I mean,
yeah.
I was really curious about
Well, when I'm in Florida, it's easy to find, you know, the beach somewhere. So, but I do tend to spend my winters months in the more warm areas, you know, so.
That's
But I love Sedona. I love the desert. I love all nature areas.
I want to play another excerpt from The Rhythm of Life. This one's called Loosen the Grip. Mm-hmm. Now, tell us a little tiny bit about this one.
Well, you know, it's when I feel that tightening going on, somehow I adopted that saying. I'm not sure where it came from. I mean, I just made it up. But that grip that we hold, that I hold onto things, onto concepts, ideas, that brings my energy down and, you know, maybe closes my heart a bit. And so I'll remind myself, okay, take a deep breath, loosen the grip. And sometimes what it takes is to come back into my heart. So I say I call to love. You know, not love as an object, but love as the spirit of love, you know, to help loosen the grip.
Let's listen to a bit of it.
I climb a mountain, it touches the sky. I travel a river, it rushes on by. I till a garden of sorrow and bliss, and I'm calling to love, calling to love. Oh, loosen the grip,
loosen
the grip,
loosen the grip.
I wander a desert that shifts in the wind. Ponder the secrets, the whisper within. I ask for the courage to find forgiveness, calling to love. Oh, oh, love,
If you're just joining us, my guest is Matt Venuti. He's a singer, songwriter, composer, and we're talking about his work and his new CD, The Rhythm of Life. Now, are you always searching for new sounds? It seems like you're always almost in an experimental mode.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty satisfied with the sounds of the hung, this instrument. I don't know if we even, have we talked about that yet?
Well, you mentioned it a little bit. Yeah. The instruments from Switzerland.
Yeah, from these two makers in Switzerland. I'm pretty satisfied with kind of the harmonic potential and the melodic and rhythmic potential of these instruments. So I don't really seek out a whole lot unless I'm putting together a new ensemble or multi-tracking, a song. I might want to add some unique sounds aside from the hung. Mm-hmm. But the hung and now the gubal, and there's a new instrument called the hung gu, and also something called the hung gudu, which are all from these instrument makers. You know, as a soloist, I'm very satisfied because I can create what feels like an ensemble on my lap.
Yeah, and then these are percussion instruments.
Well, you know,
are they considered that?
I like to think that they're new, and sure, you can almost say that they're definitely percussion in a sense. It's that you're tapping on something, but they're also extremely melodic, which mm-hmm. you generally don't hear with a percussion instrument.
Yeah. No, it's fascinating. It's fascinating to me, just as a listener, to meet somebody who's found some new instruments in the world.
That
seems almost unbelievable.
Well,
now, electronic music seems studio-based to me, like you're experimenting and messing around, you know, with volumes and tones and stuff. Can you reproduce that in a concert scene?
Oh, sure.
I mean, that I've always thought it couldn't be interpreted on the stage the same way.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I've done a lot of that. I mean, we were some of the first musicians, my earlier band, to bring, you know, computers on stage and sequencers, which are kind of keyboard-based computers, and, you know, creating loops and looping ourselves and all that. I mean, this is a technology that's been around for a while, but it's just now really, you know, kind of become more prevalent in the world. But
so you're almost bringing a studio onto the stage.
Yeah, you have to do that. Back in the day, you had to bring a rack of stuff that was tall as me, but now you can bring a little tiny box and you get the pretty much the same thing.
That's amazing to me. Yeah. I was thinking that things that are made in the studio and precise and, you know, a little tweaking here and there.
There's certainly a lot of things you can do in a studio that you probably wouldn't be able to do live because you can redo things over and over. Live is, it's amazing because you're there and that's it. You're on the spot. And if you make a mistake or you glitch a sound or whatever, you don't go back and redo it. So there are things that are nice about the studio, too.
You know what I want to ask you, too? Since you said that The Rhythm of Life, this new CD, sort of comes from an old CD. This has female vocalists in the background. And so you had to really collaborate for this one. Did you have it all written out and planned, or did you guys do an improv to record this? Did you have it all worked out?
Well, you guys is really just me in my bedroom, believe it or not. I multi-track myself first.
Uh-huh.
So I put all the parts down, and then I'll contact, you know, one of my vocalists that I've performed with in the past, or somebody who I like their voice, or somebody told me you should try so-and-so from, you know, a certain choir. I wanted to get a little gospel sound at one time on the song, The Rhythm of Life.
Yeah.
And so the singers from the, anyway, so yeah, so I contact people and I give them the CD maybe in advance, a little rough of it, or I'll send them an MP3 and they'll listen and then they'll come in and we'll work a little bit.
Oh, it's amazing. It's such a great ambiance to hear women singing in the background.
Yeah,
it fills it out so poetically in some ways.
And then the guys in my band, I mean, you know, they're just amazing musicians, so I can just play anything in front of them and they'll just grab it and start working with it and make it their own. So I've been very fortunate to work with some some of the most talented players around.
Yeah, well, the CD reflects some great stuff, and I saw some of your stuff on YouTube as well.
Mm-hmm.
Are you influenced by any poets? You say you like poetry. Are you influenced by poets and other writers?
Wow, yeah. You know, I love people like Leonard Cohen. I consider him
he's a poet.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, I was brokenhearted by his death recently.
Yeah, yeah, we all were.
He's a poet songwriter.
Yeah.
I was thinking about poets that don't translate. Remember the big debate about whether Bob Dylan really wrote literature when he won the Nobel Peace Prize?
Yeah, literature. I don't know. These are fine lines that I think we need to, you know, again, loosen the grip on how we consider.
I agree.
You know, categorizing everything, and everything has to be in a certain place. And how do I sell my music? Oh, what is it? You know, and you know, is it, it's not really folk music. It's acoustic music. It's not really new age, but it has elements of all these things. So, you know, how do I sell it? Well, I have to go on the road.
Yeah.
You know.
I know people want to put things in boxes, put things in categories. They think it's going to make them safe, but it isn't. Look, people, you're not safe no matter what.
Yeah, totally. That's a good point.
Another excerpt from The Rhythm of Life. This one's called Afraid. And I find this one really, really moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, well, I just realized that that fear is one of the most prevalent experiences that people have to go through in this human body, and I just know in myself when I can realize that I'm not alone in this.
Mm.
That we all share this. I could have more compassion for someone who I disagree with or who I think is, you know, maybe a bad person or doing something wrong in the world. I can just have more compassion, and maybe people can have more compassion for me too, knowing that, you know, sometimes we just act out of fear. Anger, emotions like that are just basically closing down of the heart. And that's kind of sad, you know, but it's very prevalent, and I do it myself, so... You know, this is what the song is about. It's knowing that I'm not alone and kind of affirming that and asking for some compassion.
Let's listen to it. Afraid. That's a great one. That was the first one that I actually thought, oh, yes, we are going to listen to that one. Are you into yoga and meditation? It feels like it from some of your lyrics and almost a philosophy that comes from this.
Yeah. Well, my wife was a yoga teacher, so I met her when she was standing on her head. And so
would you like to explain that?
Yeah, she was, you know, I was at Ocean Beach, which, you know, in San Francisco, and it was a blustery day after Thanksgiving. And, you know, Ocean Beach, it's not a beach you go suntan on. You know, you're dressed up in warm clothing. And I was going on my walk, and I saw this person hidden way up, you know, near the high, tall grasses there. And I just saw the tops of her feet, and I was like, whoa, I think that's a woman. And I'd never walk up to somebody, you know, and just say, hey, you know. But somehow I was just drawn to her, and I was drawn to yoga, but I wasn't really practicing. And so, you know, that's where we met, and I learned a lot about yoga. I learned that it's not just an exercise, you know, it's really about it's a quieting down your mind, and the exercise is basically a place to quiet your mind so that you can go into a deeper form of yoga, which is meditation, which when you finally get into that deep place, then you realize what yoga really is union. It's a yoking of, you know, realizing that we are all one and, you know, kind of living that in a sense.
Yeah. How important do you think your music is at this point in this culture of conflict, hate, accusation, revenge? You know, this is an unbelievable point in time in our world. And your music is necessary, I think. But tell me, does this make you feel like you need to expand out on it? Or?
Yeah, well, it does. I mean, I never really had a feeling that my music... I always wanted to have like my music have an effect on people in a positive way, but it almost feels like a ministry now when I go out, you know. And I do play in a lot of churches, not as a religious thing, but as a concert venue. But, you know, they're really wonderful types of places out there that people go to, like certain kinds of sanctuaries where I can perform and put people in that place of peace. And, you know, it helps me, so I know if it helps me, it has to help other people.
Yeah.
And there's also a lot of fun to it. It's not really just a meditative type of experience. It's an engaging experience. There's some little bit of sing-along. There's a lot of laughing. There's a lot of stories. And you know, like I say, music to poetry. And I hope that my music can have an effect. I realize that this is a very divisive time, and I really hope that I can make some kind of a mark to help people.
Yeah. We've reached a point where, you know, people say art is what's going to save us. And I think we're going to have to see results of that soon, because I think it's the only thing that's going to save us at this point. Hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting that you are doing this kind of music to try to calm people down.
Well, I'm trying to calm myself down. Yeah. And like I say, if it works for me, then maybe it'll work for other people. Yeah. So
your songs almost feel like they're in candlelight. You know,
I do a lot of candles.
They're just calming by listening to them.
I even do candles in a hotel room. I mean, I just have to bring some form of the ethereal into what I do, you know, to keep me connected with the truth, you know? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, what are you working on now? Any new songs popping up?
Yeah, I'm working on a song about the road.
Ah.
You know, and I do it as I drive, so I got a little more driving to do before I could finish it. But
that's a good excuse, Matt. we are almost out of time. I just wanted to talk about the fact that you wrote the theme song for the 49ers. I thought that was so... The San Francisco 49ers theme song, right?
I did.
They
announced it at Justin Herman Plaza at the big rally that they held, that they were trying to get the new stadium, and they said, this is a new theme song for us, and they blasted it on the speakers, and at that point, the radio stations started to play it, local stations, KMBR and all those, and that next year was when the two owner, Eddie DeBartolo, the owner, and Carmen Policy split, and then the team kind of fell apart, and the song kind of went with it, because they were the ones that were kind of championing it, so...
Yeah. But I just want my listeners to know, if you want to listen to anything like this from Matt Vannuti, it's all on iTunes and it's all on the web. So if you want to listen to some of this, contact information if people want to get in touch or buy your CD.
Yeah, go to Matt Vannuti, V like Victor, ENUTI.com, and everything's there. You can get to YouTube from there. You can get to iTunes from there. And you could read more about me and where I'm playing. I'm going to start another road tour in about a week, and I'm in real time still developing shows. A lot of the stuff isn't there, but if you're interested in booking me, either when I'm back in this area or beyond, I'll be there sometime.
And please, somebody book him. I want him to give a concert here locally. again, my guest has been Matt Vannuti. We've been talking about his new CD, The Rhythm of Life. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tish.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outoboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.